Hey, welcome to the Film Podcast. I'm Ricardo.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Adam Scott. I was waiting for Jenny.
Sorry. Jenny's not here.
Someone could have been Jenny.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Why is she British?
Why are you talking about this Dunfire?
Where did you get this accent from?
Hello. Yeah.
I'm Jenny Coyle.
It's Smith, not Smythe.
The Atari.
Today we're talking about war movies. It's exciting. It's a good topic.
You sound
well,
super excited.
You know, war. What is it good for?
I don't think much of anything.
Say it again.
I don't think much of anything.
So today again, we're talking about war films. Any new ones you guys have watched that aren't on the list? But that
new war movies?
Yeah. Has there been one this year?
I would call Edge of Tomorrow a pretty awesome war movie.
Oh, I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree. Yeah. That was really good.
That was really, really good.
We never got into it about that movie.
No, because someone hadn't seen it. Last time, I had just seen it.
Yeah.
So speaking of movies that we can't talk about because one of us hasn't seen it, isn't technically Dawn of the Planet of the Apes a war movie?
Almost.
Let's call it a skirmish. Although that fucking battle in it is
killer.
I mean, seriously, it is an all-timer. There's a shot in it that's totally an all-timer on top of the tank.
Yeah.
Oh man. But I would say probably the next one's a war movie.
Yeah.
This is more of a skirmish, although that really downplays the level of violence in the battle in it. But no, Edge of Tomorrow, straight up war movie.
Yes.
Yeah. That was so good.
I can't believe how much better it was than you said it was really good. You had seen it before me, Adam. For some reason, I didn't think it was not going to be good. It just was way better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking awesome. Maybe, like, did you see Oblivion also? Like, that might have been part of why?
I tried to watch. Okay. I tried to watch Oblivion a couple times now because we got someone's HBO Go account and it's on there. But
it's hard to watch.
I feel like everybody has
someone
else's HBO Go account.
I mean, I've been watching it in like 20-minute chunks, but I still really have no idea what
the plot of the movie is. You can just stop.
I know. Eventually, I did stop when I saw that it was like, "Oh, this has to be over soon, right?" And then it's another hour left.
Yeah, no, you don't need to keep watching it.
Oh, it's bad, but it's pretty.
It is very.
He makes a pretty movie.
It is
Joseph
very
Kaczynski.
But yeah, it's not very good, and that's why I think most people didn't think Edge of Tomorrow was going to be good.
Yeah,
but that's just because of Tom Cruise.
Fucking awesome.
It's so good, and he is so good in it.
He's very good.
Yeah,
and Emily Blunt.
She's awesome.
Oh, she's so good.
And
so
good
badass.
Looking.
Very good looking.
So
is Tom
Bill
Cruise.
Paxton.
Both. Oh, and Bill Paxton in his most Bill Paxton-y role to date?
Yeah. I could
in
go
a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe since Aliens?
Probably. Yeah. But Edge of Tomorrow, great war scenes, like fighting, it was intense.
I mean, it really, like not in a hacky comparison way, but it really does echo Saving Private Ryan, like the D-Day sequence at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like the level of confusion and just chaos. And it was done really well.
Yeah.
When the ship is crashing.
It's badass. No more spoilers.
Okay, sorry. Well, it happens maybe 75 times in the movie.
Yeah. All right. So should we just get into it? I'm ready.
Okay.
All right. Hit the ground running.
Yeah. Who wants to start first?
You do. You said you're
apparently
ready.
Okay.
You're
I have
ready.
A two-way tie right off the bat.
Oh,
two-way
God
tie.
Damn it, of course.
One is a fictional war and one is a real war.
How can that be? Okay.
And I don't know why they're a tie for number five, but
I feel like you have to have a reason. I know this.
Really?
The list thing is basically like we're just saying five things. It doesn't have to be in an order, but we need a reason it's a tie.
No, I don't want to do that. There's no reason, really. Here's my tie. I'll tell you what my tie is. Glory from 1989.
All right, let's see if we can make a connection.
And Starship Troopers. What's the connection?
Please make that connection.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I don't know. I was going to say racism, but there's not a ton of racism in Starship Troopers.
No.
It's just fascism.
Yeah. There's co-ed showers.
Yeah, not in Glory.
No. Yeah, I guess. I was going to say I wish, but.
They both follow a small band of unlikely heroes.
Yeah.
Who turn out to be, well, not really.
You're really reaching.
Yeah, me. I'm reaching.
Look, from now on, I'll make them link up, my ties.
You don't have to. I just wanted to make a link.
So Glory, of course, there's some great acting.
It's great.
what really well shot. Who's that? Ed Zwick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Edward Zwick. Amazing cast, right? Didn't Denzel win an Oscar for this supporting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, best supporting.
You got the dream team of acting here, except for Matthew Broderick, except for Ferris Bueller.
Matthew Broderick's great in it.
He's good. But really, he didn't really bring anything different. Like, if you would have cast somebody else, maybe it would have been more memorable, their character. If you say Glory, I don't think of Matthew Broderick. I think of Denzel Washington.
Should him and Cary Elwes have switched roles?
That would have been interesting.
That might have been good, I think.
Yeah.
Cary's always awesome. Looks as good in a mustache, though.
No, probably not.
Wait, what? What are you talking about?
In Glory. Isn't Cary always in Glory?
Yeah. He is, yeah. But you said you don't think he would look as good in a mustache?
Yeah, as Matthew Broderick? I've never seen Cary always in a mustache.
He's got a mustache in Princess Bride.
Oh, that's right.
He does.
And he does have a mustache in Glory, too, I thought.
Does he?
Pretty sure he does.
It might have been a while since I've seen Glory.
So, I don't even like Glory, and I'm pretty sure that he has a mustache in Glory.
Why don't you like Glory?
I just don't like it. I don't like the whole... It's the white savior thing.
Yeah,
it is like, yeah, fuck this movie. I don't care if it's a true story.
But this is at a time when that was kind of as good as we can get.
It's funny. You know what? I was listening to... Have you guys listened to the Bret Easton Ellis podcast?
No.
You don't like Bret Easton Ellis, apparently.
I mean, that just... Does he just talk about how much it sucks to be a rich white dude all the time?
That's funny. That's what he said. That for people's perception of him is.
That's weird. I wonder why.
It's like, oh, poor me. I'm an upper middle class white guy who just writes novels and people make movies about them, and I tell stories about spoiled rich kids who drink.
Yeah. I won't continue with my Bret Easton
Ellis. Write what you know, man. Write what you know.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say about?
He was talking about like how sometimes movies come out and they have a certain. It's about a certain subject. So you hold them to a higher, like, oh, this is more an important film than something else. Cinematically, he means. Like he was talking about how, I forgot, he was comparing Precious to something else. And he's like, because of this topic that this movie's about.
Step up.
We hold it. I don't know what he was talking about. I don't remember what he was talking about. But he's like, people hold it to a higher standard. Like, it's a better film. Like, it's better cinematography, better, you know, directing when... You know, a smaller film is actually...
Because it's a super serious thing.
Yeah, because of the subject matter and stuff.
But what about a film that deals with a serious thing but treats it in a lighter way?
I don't know. You have to give me an example.
It's a bad example. The first thing that popped in my head was a bad example, and that's what? Juno.
Which is the...
Teenage pregnancies,
but done in a light way?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It also depends on who you are.
Here's the thing. I wasn't a fan of Juno. I hated Juno.
In retrospect, I'm less of a fan. Walking out of the theater, I loved it.
I hated it.
I loved it, walking out of the theater.
I haven't rewatched it since I bought it, but I did really love it.
So you liked it because you bought it.
Yeah, no, yeah. But I liked it. I feel bad. Like, I have so many movies that I haven't rewatched since I, like, bought them.
Yeah.
Some I haven't even opened.
Yeah.
They're just sitting there.
Yeah.
Became very apparent when I moved. I'm like, I haven't even opened some of these movies. It feels weird moving them to another place.
So I picked Glory. I think I remember seeing this like in school, like in high school or something. They showed it in class actually. But I really dug it. Great acting. Just the acting alone is worth it. But I've always liked Ed Zwick.
He's good stuff.
I just rebought it, but just rewatched The Last Samurai. Loved it.
Which you could say is another white savior movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Maybe that's his thing. White savior movies.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, here's the link between Glory and Starship Troopers, which you just made with the Bret Easton Ellis thing. So Glory takes a serious look at a serious thing.
Yeah.
But Starship Troopers takes a look at a serious thing and does it in a subversive way.
Fascism. Yeah.
And war.
Yeah.
But does it through satire and comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And great action.
I don't think that The Last Samurai is just as much a white savior movie for some reason.
Really?
It's weird. Yeah, I don't know.
This is tough, guys.
I mean, it borders it.
Yeah.
Because the movie's all about him. The movie's not about... who the movie is actually titled after.
Yeah.
It's The Last Samurai, which is Ken Watanabe.
It's the guy who watched The Last Samurai die. Should be called that.
Unless...
Well, I don't think it's necessarily... I don't think Last Samurai is a singular thing. I think it's the last of the... Like, Samurai is its own plural.
Yeah. It's the closing of a world and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. But, like, I don't feel like he's saving anybody.
No.
Like, he's not a savior figure in my mind.
He really gets everyone killed.
He gets redeemed.
Like, we meet him having got a lot of people killed.
Yeah.
And he continues to do so.
Yeah, he's not a savior.
No.
Whereas, like... Yeah, I don't know. And Gloria Matthew Broderick's character seems more like he is validating other characters.
Well, he gets that hero shot towards the end.
Yeah.
When storming
it's like,
the
nah,
fort.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
Well, Starship Troopers is my number one.
Well, I guess The Last Samurai would have been a contender for this list.
It would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a war.
It doesn't have like a lot of battles.
Yeah. Well, it has like three big ones, though.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to have battles to be a war movie.
I know. It could be a war on drugs. Oof. All right. So my other movie was from 1997, Starship Troopers.
That's my number one.
So let's talk about it. It's a satire. It takes a entertaining look at war, right?
And xenophobia.
Yeah. It stars one Casper Van Dien. Yeah.
Do
we get to see Denise Richards' boobs in this movie? I think
not.
But we do see Dina Myers, right?
Yes.
Dina Myers. Yes, Dina Myers.
Yes. And I think some penises in the co-ed shower scene.
I think we see Jake Busey's penis.
I think we do see Jake Busey's penis.
Oh, man.
I was a big fan of Jake Busey at the time. This and The Frighteners.
and Identity? He's in that?
The Hitcher 2.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I never saw The Hitcher 2.
Great character actor in this movie, Michael Ironside.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's the Roughnecks.
Hoo-ah.
Yeah. Who else is in this that I love? Of course, Denise Richards.
Neil
She's
Patrick
amazingly
Harris.
Crappy in it.
She's a Neil Patrick Harris.
Neil Patrick Harris, yeah. Playing the... He has a very Hitler-y outfit.
Oh, yes. He's very much the Gestapo.
Yeah, yeah.
The psychic Gestapo.
Yeah, yeah. But all in all, great movie. And the effects... Just rewatching it recently, hold up really well.
They hold up.
I don't know why.
The horde scene when they're all attacking the fort, like it looks great.
Yeah, yeah, it looks really great. I don't know. I've been hearing things about a remake. I don't know how I feel about that. Don't like it.
You know? And I think we talked about this when we did the outer space one.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we touched upon the exact same.
Yeah. So let's move on with that point. Where should we go to Adam? Maybe
I think we should go to Brandon.
Brandon.
Oh, why me?
Because I just felt like going the other way.
Yeah, we picked.
Well, this is really cliche, but it's because I originally didn't like this movie at all. And I couldn't tell you why, but Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, it made your list.
Yes, it did make the list. Because the first 20 minutes are way too good.
Yeah.
Well, are better than most entire
that
movies.
Should have been. That could have been a short film unto itself.
Yeah.
Just
for sure.
Those.
But then the movie after that is really good as well. And I think for some reason I just thought, I don't know, I think I was young and stupid. And I was like, oh, this is bullshit. The whole movie is just them looking for a guy. Just because I was an idiot.
You're like, the porn's better.
Yeah.
Searching for Ryan's privates.
I was really into gay porn at the time. I wasn't really into metaphors or the human condition or anything. But it's a really amazing movie with amazing actors. And the final battle when they're holding the bridge is like it's close to the opening. Like it's amazing.
Yeah. And a lot of the stuff is done in one shot.
Yeah.
There's one long take and it's really well done. When was this made? This was in
98.
Sounds right.
Right in the button, dude. So many great character actors in this. From Nathan Fillion. Playing the wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the wrong Ryan.
The wrong
That's
Ryan.
Right. Vin Diesel.
Yeah. So let's go down the list. So we got Tom Hanks. Just, that's all you need. Could have filled it all with unknowns, and it would have still been a great movie. But you have Matt Damon as Ryan. Tom Sizemore. Always great in war movies.
Always great.
Even if it's dumbass fucking Pearl Harbor. Still good in it. You know what I mean?
Don't spoil my list, man.
He's always a guy. He's always a guy who just is really tired.
Yeah, yeah, all the time. Really angry. Really. Edward Burns. He's good in this. I like him.
Yeah,
he's kind of a dick.
I'm not the biggest fan of Edward Burns, but he is great in this.
I like Ed Burns. Adam?
I do like Ed Burns.
I like Barry Pepper.
Barry Pepper's
the man.
Yeah. When Barry Pepper is good, he is amazing.
Yeah.
And then there's Battlefield Earth, another war movie.
Exactly. He's not bad in it. It's the movie that's bad.
Yeah.
You can't blame him for it.
Yeah.
Adam Goldberg. He's good in that.
Spoiler alert, most painful death scene.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that scene is amazing.
Cringe inducing. Yeah.
And then who plays the...
Wait. Vin Diesel is next.
Vin Diesel.
The Iron Giant. Giovanni Ribisi.
Giovanni Ribisi
is the medic.
Jeremy Davis.
Oh, Apple. Jeremy Davies.
Yeah.
Always amazing.
Yeah, always.
Yes, and he's the one. So he's the one in the scene with Adam Goldberg.
Yes.
Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah.
Him in the hallway.
Forget about it.
And he always plays a guy where things are just getting to him way too much.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Ted Danson.
Oh, I forgot about Ted Danson. Yeah. That's right.
Paul Giamatti.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Dennis Farina.
Yeah.
Man. That's about it.
Who plays the commander at the beginning that gives him the assignment?
I thought it was Bryan Cranston for some reason, but I'm thinking... I think Bryan Cranston is...
It was a heavyweight. Yeah. It was a heavyweight. I'm trying to remember.
It was Captain Dale Dye.
Yeah, Dale Dye.
Yeah. He's a guy.
The guy who trained them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But amazing cinematography in the beginning.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
The sound mixing is unbelievable.
From 1998, Stephen Pratt Ryan. Your number five?
My number five.
Adam, what do you got?
Okay, well, that probably would have been my number five. I'll change it up a little bit, and I'll say 2001.
A Space Odyssey?
No, 2001's.
It's a war within ourselves.
Black Hawk Down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Another great Tom Sizemore.
Yeah.
Playing the same part.
They froze him. He was like Captain America. They froze him. And they rewrote him.
And he came out just the same. Yeah. Just with better weapons. He's like, God damn it. He's like, but you're shot. It doesn't matter. He's always getting shot and still just going.
Yeah.
Doesn't stop.
He's so good at doing that kind of shake. That shock shake. Yes. After you get shot. And then getting back up again.
And just walking around in the middle of a firefight.
Oh, that's right.
Just bullets whizzing by him.
Oh, damn, he's a badass. Is Black Hawk Down the last great Ridley Scott movie?
Whoa. What? What are you saying? I've loved all his movies.
I'm asking if Black Hawk Down is the last great Ridley Scott movie.
I'm going to look at his filmography. Hold on, dude.
I still haven't seen... What, Body of Lies or whatever?
It's not very good.
I loved it.
I still haven't seen Kingdom of
Heaven.
It's
not great, though.
I loved it.
Prometheus was...
For a guy who's made Black Hawk Down, Gladiator...
Okay, I'm going to read you his filmography since then. Matchstick Men. Loved it.
Matchstick Men is good.
Sam Rockwell, awesome. Okay.
Not as good as Black Hawk Down.
Kingdom of Heaven. I grew to love it.
The director's cut is actually really good.
Yes.
Okay, I'll give that, but I'm still not sure it's better than Black Hawk Down.
It's still got Orlando Bloom as the lead, right?
Yeah.
Did they digitally put another actor in the lead role?
Yeah, Tom Sizemore.
Okay, yeah, then I'm in.
A Good Year. I never saw it.
Oh, you love that, right?
Never saw it.
The Russell Crowe winery movie.
Never saw it.
So bad.
The Under the Tuscan Sun, starring Russell Crowe.
That would have been good. I wish I watched it now. American Gangster.
Oh wait,
loved it.
I was so disappointed in American Gangster.
What? I loved it.
I was too. I don't know.
Something wrong with you, dude.
Probably, but...
Body of Lies, 2008. I like that.
It looked like the two of them talking on the phone the whole time.
I mean, it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying Black Hawk Down is great. It is amazing.
Robin Hood. Ugh. Prometheus. And then The Counselor.
Counselor just X everything else out.
Did you see it?
So fucking bad.
Really?
Oh my God.
It was the
most tedious movie I've ever seen.
I have to watch it.
Such a one note.
Here's
everybody firing on the same. You've got a room full of pianists and they're all hitting the exact same note very, very slowly at the exact same time.
But then every once in a while there's a leopard.
No, the leopard's hitting the exact same note at the exact same time, too.
Okay. So we're talking about Black Hawk Down. Sorry, guys.
Yes, an awesome movie.
Yeah, an awesome movie. I'm going to talk about a little bit about Josh Hartnett.
Okay.
Have you guys seen Penny Dreadful?
No.
No.
I'm gonna go ahead and say it, and I may be an idiot for saying it, but I think Josh Hartnett is a new Matthew McConaughey.
What?
Whoa.
He's eventually going to be considered, like, we're like, where did this guy, where was this guy?
No, because he's not, he was never weird enough to be the new Matthew McConaughey.
He's the new Matthew McConaughey.
The reason Matthew McConaughey is Matthew McConaughey is because everyone is like, what the fuck, that weirdo can really pull it out and be amazing. You will never see Josh Hartnett be as good as Matthew McConaughey in True Detective.
Well, you don't know that. You haven't seen... I'm not saying right now. I'm saying in like 10 years. Trust
calling
me.
It?
I'm calling
bold,
it right now.
This is a bold
choice. That is a very bold
What's
statement.
Today's date?
It is the 16th of July, 2014.
I called it. Called it. He's going to... He's
10 years
one day,
from now?
Within 10 years, he'll win an Oscar.
What?
I'm going to call it.
But he also has to have like a series of both like odd role choices, like for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so for the next 5 years, we have to get accustomed to Josh Hartnett playing a specific role.
Yeah.
Josh Hartnett.
And
I'm
then,
accustomed to that already.
And then he has to go completely the other way and do movies that are weird character choices, but still like really grounded and just be great.
Wait, I just had a You'll weird thought. Isn't his first movie Halloween H2O?
I don't think so. Is that his first movie?
No, his first was, is it I Know What You Did Last Summer?
No.
He's not in that?
Nope.
Is he
Freddie Prinze Jr. and Ryan Phillippe.
Is he I Still Know What You Did Last Summer?
Nope.
Is he in any of the Scream movies?
Nope.
What's
he's
the
in
like,
Halloween H2O.
No, but what's the other
one? The Faculty, probably. Faculty.
The Faculty.
Faculty's after Halloween H2O.
You know what? We're all wrong. Well, not us. I mean, you and I, Brandon. Adam's correct.
Thank you.
First movie, Halloween H2O.
Halloween H2O.
I apologize. Then it was The Faculty. Then it was a TV show, then The Virgin Suicides, and so on and so on.
But what's Josh Hartnett's Dazed and Confused? The one where he's the like the breakout guy that everyone quote. Oh, yeah, people are always quoting lines from The Faculty.
All the time. All the time.
People are walking around Halloween with the industrial paper cutter things made out of foam.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Yeah.
I see him every year.
Yeah. It's probably resurrecting the champ, bro. I'm telling you, you just wait. He's amazing in Penny Dreadful.
And I'm not doubting he's not amazing in Penny Dreadful.
Okay, let's talk about Black Hawk Down. Back to Black Hawk Down. We keep going away from Black Hawk
you
Down.
Want,
okay,
you
have a,
want,
let's talk about Eric Bana in Black Hawk Down and how fucking badass he
okay,
is.
Okay, quote, let's talk about Josh Hartnett.
Yeah, actually, that was you. You did send us off on that tangent.
Okay, first, let's go down the list because let's not...
That's
we, already, I don't want to neglect
the list
anybody.
List.
The list. We got Ian McGregor, who's badass.
He's a badass.
Yeah, but we still hear his Scottish accent sometimes.
I feel bad for Ewan McGregor. I feel like Star Wars really fucked him over.
Yeah, yeah. But he's doing okay.
He's okay.
He got Beginners and The Impossible and that.
He's
bike.
Coming back. He's McConaughey.
He's doing that motorcycle documentary with his brother.
Yeah. It's not his brother. It's his friend, dude.
Get right. I thought it was his brother.
No. Tom Sizemore, again, playing the same part.
Sam Shepard.
Eric Bana.
Are you actually going down the
I'm
list?
I'm literally going
order?
Down the list.
Oh, okay.
Eric Bana.
Badass.
He's like, why isn't safety on your weapons, son? He's like, this is my weapon. And he squeezes.
This is my safety.
This is my safety. Fucking awesome, dude.
He's great.
He's so good.
So good in it. William Fichtner.
William Fichtner is badass.
Always amazing.
In this movie.
Yeah.
Can you skip over? Did you already say Orlando Bloom? Because if you
no, yet. We're not even there yet.
Okay, just skip over his name.
Ewan Bremner.
Yes.
Oh, amazing.
Bremner. He's from Trainspotting.
Yeah.
Amazing
as Snowpiercer.
Oh, he's in it?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
So good.
Sorry, guys. I haven't seen it. You judged me.
No.
I felt like you turned around and even like...
I'm just waiting for you to say Tom Hardy.
I will get there. We'll get there. Sam Shepard.
Sam Shepard.
What is his... Kim Coates, isn't it?
Kim Coates. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Hugh Dancy.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is.
Who's Hugh Dancy in Black Hawk Down?
I think he might be one... No, he's not one of the pilots.
Isn't he one of the dudes that... Isn't he the dude that, spoiler alert, dies, like, when they're
I think
holed
so.
Up?
A lot of people die.
Like he's the, no, but he's the one they're, like, trying to do surgery on, and they can't save him, I thought.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. I haven't seen Black Hawk Down in a long
I'm
time.
I'm grasping at straws, but I think that's who he is.
Ron Eldard?
Ron Eldard, yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
I can't pronounce his first name. Mr. Fantastic, what's his name?
He's one of the...
Oh, Ewan...
Griffith? I don't know his name. I can't pronounce
it. It's Gaelic?
Yeah.
Isn't the Kingslayer...
Yon Griffith. It's how you say the first name.
Isn't the Kingslayer one of the dudes who comes down to, like, save...
Oh, the King... You said it right the first time.
Ricardo made the jerk-off motion and pointed at me when I said his name right. What an asshole.
What an asshole.
Saying his name
Isn't
right.
He one of the dudes who, like, protects Ron Eldard?
He's like, please pronounce my name right. Finally mentioning a movie I'm in.
We're going to get an email. Yeah. That guy's the first guy to pronounce my name right.
Jason Isaacs?
Yeah, Jason Isaacs.
Mm-hmm. This guy, I can't pronounce his name. The first guy there. What's his name? He's in like True Blood and a bunch of stuff.
Oh, Zelko Ivanek.
Yeah, so many great character actors.
Yeah, he's
Jeremy
great.
Piven. Fuck, so many people in this.
I swear the Kingslayer is one of the people who.
Yes, he is. He's okay. Nicola.
Costa yeah. Vernang?
Something like that.
But everybody's in this.
Everybody's
movie.
Tom Hardy again. We
Everyone you
that.
Love.
Bane is in it. Orlando Bloom, because you really love him.
I think you meant to say Tom Hardy's lips are in it.
Tom Hardy's lips.
Tom Hardy's lips. Oh, Ty Burrell. That's right.
Yeah,
Ty Burrell is in this. Modern Family himself. But great movie. Ridley Scott killed it. Awesome. Just great sound design, too, in this one.
Yeah.
Another great sound design.
The battle scenes are amazing.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of great writers on it. A lot of great writers wrote on this. Mark Bowden, I know... the guy that Traffic worked on like a pass on it, and I know Sam Shepard also did a pass on it too. But great number five, man. Damn you. My number four is from 2009, and it's Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, that almost made my list. It might be the only one that I can think of that is really joyful about war.
Yeah.
Everything else is really showing the folly of war and how terrible and horrible it is.
Yeah.
But Inglourious Basterds loves it.
It's just so indulgent in itself. And like, there's something good. Here's the thing.
I mean, he kills Hitler.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I wasn't expecting that, first of all.
Oh, no. No way.
And two, he kind of gave us like, not closure, because you never get closure on that bad boy. But like, he gave you a satisfying ending because nothing else would have ended well. For that movie.
Yeah, I mean, what do you? Yeah,
you had to go. Hey, this is what would have happened if we would have done this. How cool would it have just been?
Just
kill Hitler. Yeah, just just make his face pulp. Like that's what happened, dude.
Let's take that Captain America cover.
Yeah,
and actually show what it would be if Captain America punched Hitler in the face.
Yeah. And so many funny, iconic moments when he's trying to speak Italian. Gorlami. Gorlami.
And the cafe scene, like,
oh.
So uncomfortably tense.
Another short film onto itself.
Oh. I mean, every like chapter is a short film.
Michael Fassbender in that.
Oh, so good.
When he's like, I think I'd rather go down speaking the King's English.
Yeah, that's badass. Yeah, yeah. Eli Roth.
Stieglitz.
Yeah.
The Bear Jew.
Yeah. He's awesome. He's also awesome when he has to speak Italian as well.
I feel like, don't they, they're all doing like really stereotypical hand gestures also.
Yeah.
Like they're all like shaking their hand.
Pinching their fingers together. Yeah.
Everyone's Christoph Waltz, amazing, right?
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
That opening scene, also the tense, like him in that scene.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I think we've reached the end of my English. Do you mind if we, or the end of my French? Do you mind if we speak in English?
Yeah.
So good. So if I tell you someone in Inglourious Basterds was the best they've ever been since the mid 90s, who do you think that would be? And he only shows up for a little bit. But he's amazing.
Mike Myers?
Yes.
Yeah.
When Mike Myers shows up on screen,
yeah.
I was blown away.
Yeah.
And he's so good. That scene is so good when they're the opposite sides of this giant like battle plan room.
And that's he's really Rod good. Taylor as
yes.
Churchill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rod
Taylor. Interesting grouping of bastards. You have Sam Levine, B.J. Novak, Michael Bacall. Michael Bacall's part is like a Shane Black part in Predator, where they had a writer as an actor in it. He doesn't really do a lot of acting, but he's in that. And then, of course, what's his name? Til Schweiger.
Til Schweiger.
Oh, man. He's really good.
He's really good. Puts his arm down a guy's throat. And Daniel Brühl. He's pretty awesome, too. Playing, like, this German officer.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's really good.
He's very creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
And Melanie Laurent.
Yeah.
She's very good.
So good.
She's so good, yeah. And so is Diane Kruger.
Yeah, she's really good.
She's really good. She's really, I was surprised because really I'm like, really, this girl?
I'm sorry, have you seen National Treasure?
I know. What did I doubt her?
Or National Treasure Book of Secrets?
Yeah. What did I doubt her?
Well, no, those are your favorite movies, and, Brandon.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Eli Roth was
good.
We
should have been knee-deep in National Treasure movies by now.
Yeah.
There should have been like four more sequels.
They should have been.
They did pretty well. They're on TV all the time.
I love them.
They're great. They're
I don't
fun.
Care how shitty they are.
They're stupid.
Yeah. Eli Roth in a decent acting role for him.
He's good. He doesn't have a lot to do, but he's good.
Yeah. All right. That's number four. What am I going to say? What more am I going to say? It's awesome. Cinematography is great. Is this the last movie, Sally Menke?
I think so, yeah. Well, I mean, it would have to be because it's this and Django.
That's right. That's right. Wow. All right. And it's Bob Richardson.
Rest in peace.
Right? Cinematography?
I don't know.
I think so. All right. Brandon, what is your number four?
Well, all right, let's go way the other way then. And I don't remember what year, but Stanley Kubrick's Paths of Glory.
Ooh. I knew some Kubrick had to be on here, right?
Yeah, I may have a couple Kubricks on here.
All right.
Really good.
Yeah,
it's 57.
And 57?
Yeah.
And Paths of Glory is really good because there's not a lot of World War One movies.
Yeah.
Or at least there's a dearth of them.
Yeah.
There should be way more because it's really ugly and gross war.
Yeah.
Which I guess maybe why there isn't, because there's not a lot of heroism. I recently rewatched it, which is probably why it's on the list, but is there, which is weirder, Kirk Douglas as a French colonel or Tom Cruise as a German commander in Valkyrie?
Well, at least in Valkyrie, he starts speaking German.
Yeah, that's true.
And he Kirk Douglas into...
is always Kirk Douglas.
Yeah. Well, so is Christian Bale. Now, did you see the trailer for Exodus?
Oh, Jesus
He's
Christ.
Just like that, man.
Don't get me started.
Where is he? Who are you? I'm Moses.
Yeah, let's continue that Ridley Scott conversation with Exodus, Gods and Kings.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it, too, but it's it rubs me the wrong way.
I haven't even watched the trailer yet. I saw the picture of him like on the horse. Like, I don't remember that from Exodus, the book of the Bible, but okay.
And Joel Edgerton looks like he's doing a full-on Yul Brynner.
Yes, he is. Yeah. How would Yul do it? Fuck it.
Shame my eyebrows.
Yeah.
Dear God.
But yeah, no, Paths of Glory is great.
Yeah.
The shot when they're... So it's about a French unit who's tasked to take a fort that's impossible to take, and then... Half of the unit doesn't even go into no man's land, and like someone threatens to shoot them all, but a bunch of them are tried for cowardice and ultimately shot. Spoiler alert. But but the way they did that, like, approach, is beautiful.
Yeah.
And all the trench stuff is gorgeous. It's all these long takes walking down the trench. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Really well done.
Really well
awesome,
done.
Awesome, Stanley Kubrick. What is this, like, what number was this in his film career?
This was like, it's early.
It's really early.
Yeah, 57, this is after The Killing, but before
Spartacus.
Spartacus.
Is that what it is? Killing?
I think it's like his third.
It's Killer's Kiss, The Killing,
and then
Paths
this.
Of Glory. Yeah.
Paths of Glory. And then is it Spartacus after this? Or is it Lolita?
Spartacus is after this.
Spartacus
then Lolita.
Then Lolita.
Yeah. Man, it's a good movie.
Yeah. Really good.
I love Spartacus, too.
Spartacus is great. Another great war movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Rebellion.
Really fucking Stanley Kubrick. Yeah. Every shot's so amazing.
Yeah, so good.
So that is from what year was that again?
57.
57. All right. Adam, what do you got for us?
Well, surprisingly, another Stanley Kubrick movie from 30 years later, 1987, Full Metal Jacket.
That's my number three.
Matthew Modine?
Modine?
I see Modine.
Modine?
Yeah.
Vincent D'Onofrio?
D'Onofrio?
Yeah.
Yeah, this, I remember the first time I saw part of this movie, and it was really, it was the basic training part, and it was just so disturbing. It
fucks you up.
And I was way too young. And it wasn't even like, it was edited for TV, and I was still like, this is weird and creepy, and I don't like what's happening.
You're laughing way too hard, and then out of nowhere.
Oh, I was not laughing. I was like, this is just fucked up.
Oh, I was laughing.
I was not. Yeah, I was too young.
All the early Ermy shit is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Everything that comes out of his mouth is gold.
Yeah.
I know he stacks shit that high.
What was it? He's like, I
Eskimo pussy is mighty cold.
When he's talking about how he hates everybody equally.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was just so, it's so creepy. Sad.
I saw this movie
Vincent
really
D'Onofrio,
young too.
Like, it's just so sad.
Yeah. I saw this movie really young, and for the longest time, I only saw the first half.
Yeah.
I think...
I don't know why.
Well, as soon as he pulls the trigger, I'm like, I think I need to go away.
It's kind of okay.
Room.
I mean, the second half is good and everything, too, but man, that first half is just so amazingly beautiful and devastating.
Yeah, yeah.
Very bleak.
Yeah, super bleak.
Bleak and brutal, and like, it... You need a break. Like, there should be an intermission. Yeah.
There should be two movies, part one, part two.
Yeah. Even though it'd be like 40 minutes and then.
Yeah, yeah. But, man, it's such a good movie. Well shot, like you said.
Beautiful.
It is devastating halfway through it.
I just think Vincent D'Onofrio's character is like a sick dog.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so pitiful.
Yeah.
Like, the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he kills himself, it's like, oh. Just thinking about it bums me out.
Adam Baldwin's in it.
Oh, that's right. God, yeah. Man, he went off the deep end.
Yeah.
You seen his Twitter account?
No.
Holy shit.
Really?
Whoa.
What's happening?
Oh, a lot.
Really?
Follow it. It's entertaining, to say the least.
But no, really well done movie. I thought this was longer. It's only an hour 56 minutes.
Yeah.
Felt
short. Just because the first half in basic training is just so draining. It feels like a whole movie unto itself.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
But it really, like all Cooper said, it just really flows well.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like an hour.
Yeah, yeah. So my number three? Yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My number three is from 1999, and it's Three Kings, directed by David O. Russell.
It's my number two.
Really?
And I'm out. I'll fill in with those.
Written by, first draft by John Ridley, the guy who wrote 12 Years a Slave as well. This was one of his first produced credits. It stars George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg, Ice Cube,
Spike Jones,
basically, and Cliff Curtis as the...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And basically, it's four soldiers that set out to steal gold, Saddam's gold.
During the Iraq War.
During the Iraq War, yeah.
Maybe one of the only Iraq War movies?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the only...
Jarhead.
Yeah.
But this Jarhead was so many years after.
Yeah. Jarhead was like 2005, maybe, something?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So two. I bet there are a lot of Iraq War movies.
Yeah. But... Amazing acting by everybody here.
Everyone.
Everyone got so a great good. Performance. Even Ice Cube, you know?
This is one of those Mark Wahlberg performances where he just gets so angry when he's so terrible in a movie.
Yeah.
Like, really bad in a movie. Because he goes, I think he only has two modes. I don't think I ever see him where he's just like, yeah, he was okay.
Yeah.
He either is really impresses you and you're like, wow, he was great, or he's atrocious.
Yeah. It's the directors he's working with.
Yeah.
If the directors are good, he ends up being really good because they know how to work him.
Yeah, I guess David O. Russell's the guy.
Yeah, yeah, because I mean he was great in I Heart Huckabees.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah. So basically, the three kings are George Clooney, basically Clooney, Wahlberg, and Ice Cube. Spike Jones is so funny in this.
He's really good.
So funny. He's like, you guys all want to go to your day job? Mark Wahlberg's working at a grocery store. Ice Cube's like installing stereos or something, isn't he? I forgot what Clooney's doing, but Spike Jonze is just shooting shit off of his car. It's on blocks in the backyard.
That was actually stock footage of Spike Jonze, right? That's just what he does in his free time.
Yeah. Just shoot shit.
It's from an old skating video.
Yeah. Well, it's basically Jackass shit that he was doing in his backyard, and he started Jackass. But such a well-done movie. Just really well shot. Again, oh, you know who's in this? Oh, I just realized. Judy Greer. She plays a reporter that's fucking Clooney.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
When Nora Dunn is looking for him.
Yes, yeah. But
and Michael T. Williams.
I forgot that's Nora Dunn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nora Dunn.
They're shooting. A great shot is when they shoot that milk truck and it spills all the milk. Mm-hmm. That's a really beautiful shot there. But all in all, great movie. Great action at the end. Really well shot. I think that's his first like action-y movie he's ever done. David Russell. Yeah. Everything else has been really subdued, really.
The only. Yeah. Only
drama.
Movie.
Yeah.
Besides, I guess, The Fighter.
But. Yeah. It was more like, physical fights. But there's a lot of gunplay in this one. But that is from 1999. If you haven't seen it, that's a really great movie. And was Clooney pretty big back then already?
Wait, 99?
Yeah.
So this was after, I think, From Dusk Till Dawn and One Fine Day, after he left ER. I think
it might have been after The Peacemaker.
Oh, that atrocious
movie. The Nicole Kidman
movie.
One? Was it before or after The Peacemaker?
The Peacemaker was one of his first movies,
Yeah, I think this is just
from
after
Dusk Till Dawn,
Peacemaker.
Dusk Till Dawn, One Fine Day, Peacemaker.
Peacemaker,
and then this.
And this is the thing that,
it was like, oh shit.
Oh, fuck.
It was like, he started out good, and then it went down a little bit, and then went down, and wait.
Oh, we got this all wrong.
Oh, no.
Oh.
From Dusk Till Dawn, One Fine Day, Batman and Robin.
Oh.
The
You'll have to forgive us for
blocking that out.
Deleting that from our brain.
But then he quickly came back with Out of Sight.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, Out of Sight. Oh,
that's what brought him back. And The Thin Red Line, South Park, and Three Kings.
I forgot he's in South.
Yeah.
God damn it!
He's the guy responsible for.
I know he was the guy who passed around the
tape.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So
a Christmas card.
Yeah, yeah. So fucking Clooney, he's awesome in that. So that is my number three.
And he was the voice of the Big Al's dog, right?
So Three Kings from 1999. My number three.
All right, so my number three, I'm going to fill in.
You're going to fill in.
Since my number three was Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, okay.
But I think we should talk about Spies Like Us. It's a war movie. It's the Cold War.
Yeah. I feel like we talked about this movie.
Have we?
I feel like you brought it up
previously
also.
Yeah.
In what?
See, this is why you got to get the IMDb app, because you just type in a movie and it tells you all the lists that you've already had it on.
Oh.
I know.
Well, okay. How about Hot Shots Part 2?
And you have, is that an iPad you have?
Yeah.
It is.
Is that a new iPad?
No, it's the
old one. It's an iPad 1. I can't get the IMDb app because it's for the newer iPad.
Boo-hoo.
I would have had to have downloaded before.
An older version.
I don't want to take the time. We can't talk about Spies Like Us again?
Sure we can.
I guess so.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Doctor. We don't talk about Spies Like Us, but it's a great movie.
It's
so funny. If you haven't seen it.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd,
I feel like
his wife.
That is the movie that I would see. Like, I remember that and Full Metal Jacket being on rotation a lot.
Really?
Like, I would have to go away from Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, man, that is a roller coaster.
I'd have to go away from Full Metal Jacket.
And, cleanse your palate.
Yeah, watch Spies Like Us when they drop them out. Just drop the crash test. Yeah.
No, but when they're taking the test and Chevy Chase comes in with the broken arm and the eye patch.
So good.
What year is that from you?
If I had to guess, it's a 88 or 7?
I want to say it's the same year.
Yeah. What was your real number?
85.
85.
Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah. Full Metal Jacket. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Adam, what is your number three?
Okay, my number three is kind of a cheat, but not really. 1997, Wag the Dog. It's a movie about faking the war.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Good one.
That's a good one.
So Robert De Niro is a spin doctor, and he hires movie producer Dustin Hoffman to produce a fake war to distract from the president's sex scandal.
Yeah.
And it's Robert De Niro, Anne Heche, and Dustin Hoffman basically going around fabricating this war.
Yeah.
And it's great. And everybody's in this movie.
Isn't Kirsten Dunst in this too?
Yeah, she's an actress they hire to play an Albanian girl. And they have her running through to like create a CGI village like in green screen. Yeah. And they have her hold a bag of Tostitos. And they say, oh, it's okay, we're going to take it out. We're going to turn it into a cat. And then the president's like calling up on the phones, like saying what kind of cat he wants the bag of Tostitos to be turned into. And Willie Nelson's in it.
Yeah.
He plays like his one of Dustin Hoffman's go-to songwriters.
Yeah, and he writes like a...
He writes a song about Good Old Shoe.
Yeah.
Man, I haven't seen this since the theater.
I love this movie so much.
Who made it?
Dennis Leary's in it.
I don't remember.
I think it's
Barry Levinson.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Dennis Leary's in it. He's the fad king.
Yeah.
He's one of Dustin Hoffman's crew.
Did Levinson write it also?
Larry Beinhart wrote the book American Hero, and then the screenplay was Hilary Henkin and David Mamet.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember Mamet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
William H. Macy is in it. He's great. He's like one of the FBI guys who confronts them about the fact that they're onto them faking a war.
Mamet touched it. It's got to have Macy in it.
But they're all so funny.
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman is hilarious. He and De Niro are just so much fun to watch together.
Yeah.
When they're riffing.
Yeah.
And I was only like, 97? So I was like 13 or 14 when this movie came out, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And as every time I'd watch it after the year it came out, I would like understand a little bit more and more about what was actually happening. But yeah, they're hilarious together.
Yeah, I really do enjoy this movie,
and I don't think you could make the movie now.
No,
there's just no way it's believable at all.
No.
It's right on the tail end of when something like that, because it is, it was believable.
Because no one had phones and camera phones.
No one had internet everywhere.
Yeah. It came on the right
time. No one had a way to double check anything like that.
No, exactly. Exactly. Now you have video of the actress or something.
Yeah, well, after the Arab Spring.
Yeah.
So that was your number two?
That was my number three, because you were first, that's right. So it's your number two.
My number two is from 2008, and it takes place during the Iraq War, and it is The Hurt Locker.
It's what I was going to replace my next one with.
Really? Well, let's talk about it. Here we go.
We talked about it a lot during the Catherine Bigelow one.
It's one of the movies where I was literally like grabbing onto to my seat, literally like at the edge of my seat.
Wait, so did we talk about this during the Catherine Bigelow episode? Did you and I see it together, Brandon?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. I keep saying I need to rewatch it, and I haven't just because I have no time.
I
do love it. I just need to rewatch it.
Jeremy Renner is so good.
Yes.
He was in, I don't know if you guys watched Louie, but he was in an episode of this last season of Louie.
No.
And it just made me realize he's really good. Like, I love him every time he shows up in something. And in this, I just always think about the sniper scene where they have to keep watch until nightfall.
And the sweat in their eyes, and there was like dirt on it on their eyes, and like, oh man, like it's funny. His
mouth is all dry.
Yeah,
like,
and then they have just one little canteen of water, and oof. Ray Fiennes is
and
in
they
that
have
scene.
Like what's like the little it's like a snack bar or something that they give him.
Juice box, juice,
the juice box.
Box.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Oh.
But he just gives it to what's his name, Falcon.
Yeah,
I can't remember. I'm not pulling his name.
Falcon is played by Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Mackie.
He's great.
So good.
Yeah. And then he says, "Did you have some?" And he's like, "Yeah, I had some." He even lies to him, and he lets Anthony Mackie have all of it. Fucking so good. And like just the way they shot it, the locations so authentic. The actors are. It feels like they're really there. All the intensity of how they shot it, like just it's so intense.
Everything is intense.
Everything
there's
is
not
so
a
intense.
Thing in it that isn't like ratcheted up to 11 on intense.
and it that's all like, what people forget is that like so much of that could be lost in editing, or like pace, or with the everything, anything, any little change, and it could change how tense that movie is. But it just it intensifies with as the movie goes till the end. It only gives you a little breather when there's blowing off steam, just beating each other up.
Yeah, but even then.
Even then, yeah.
Like,
because you don't know if he's crazy or if who's going nuts.
It's all beneath the surface.
Yeah. But that's the only part that kind of lets you down a little bit and to take a breather.
I would say the only part that's an actual breather is when he's like bullshitting with the kid who's selling the bootlegs.
Oh yeah,
outside of
yeah,
the base. Yeah. But then that comes back and becomes devastating.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah.
There is no escape. Yeah. It's all just one big tense.
Yeah.
Ride.
But again, directed by Kathryn Bigelow, written by Mark Boll.
So good.
Really good film. So that would have been your number, your surrogate number two.
All right, well, let's do another surrogate then. You know, it was kind of cheating a little bit, and it's on the list of everything for any movie that's related to anything, but it's just that good. Casablanca.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounded like almost a sigh of disdain.
Yeah,
No.
Because it's not really like a war.
Yeah, I don't want to argue it.
The entire backdrop is war. Like the whole...
There are Nazis in it.
There are Nazis in it.
Yeah. The whole reason for the story happening is a war.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah, the invasion of Paris is a major plot point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and there are
it's
Nazis
more of a more of a war movie than Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about papers. Whole thing revolves around getting papers.
Yeah. Every time I hear the word paper, I think of Waterworld. When he's all, it's paper. And he wants to trade
that's
him paper.
That's a weird.
I don't remember that.
That is a weird, weird pull.
He wants to trade paper for the girl, for the little girl.
Oh, that's right. The weirdo on the.
It's Kateas, I think, isn't it? It's Elias Kateas.
Elias Kateas? I don't remember.
No. The weirdo that they find, that they run into?
Yes, it's Elias Kateas.
No, it's not Elias Kateas. It's definitely not. It's,
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's Kim Coates.
Kim Coates. That's what I'm thinking
of. It's Kim
Coates.
Yeah, Kim Coates.
Because he's also in Open Range.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I was thinking of the wrong guy.
He's wearing that weird hat.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of like not really shading anything. Yeah. It's only shading his eyes.
Isn't it like half a milk jug or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Yeah. He's it's paper. Yeah. Anyway, what are we talking about?
Casablanca.
Casablanca.
It's about paper.
But I feel like it's the one thing that's always named as like one of the best movies of all time that will live up to anyone's expectations.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of people who would watch Citizen Kane and be like, yeah, I mean, it was good, but like, whatever. But Casablanca, every line that comes out of everyone's mouth is a classic.
This and The Godfather are the two perfect movies that live up to the expectation that they... That people hold up.
They live up to every ounce of hype that you can throw
Citizen
at it.
Citizen Kane, I still stand that it's influential, but I'm not the biggest fan of.
I mean, yeah, it's a great movie, but it's not like. I'm not going to sit down and watch Citizen Kane.
That's weird. I will.
Really?
I'll totally sit down and watch Citizen Kane.
I've never been like, guys, you know what? Let's sit around and watch fucking Citizen Kane.
It's been a long time since I've seen Citizen Kane.
Let's all sit around and get some popcorn.
I've
going.
Never heard anyone say that.
I really like Citizen Kane.
Who wants to have some beers and watch Citizen Kane?
I got a bunch of movie school night children in my place. To watch Citizen Kane, and I want to keep watching Brandon. It.
Guys, movie night in my house. Let's go watch Citizen Kane.
It's so good.
I got The Raid 2 on DVD. No, we should watch Citizen Kane.
Yeah, I got the special edition.
No, dude, double feature, Citizen Kane and RKO 281.
That actually would be. If the Egyptian did that, I would go see that. That would be good. Because RKO 281 is really good.
Yeah.
Liev Schreiber's Orson Welles.
Yeah.
It's really good, yeah.
All right. That's a good Casablanca. Well done. No one ever looks cooler than Bogey smoking, do they?
No.
Nobody.
Everyone wants to look like that when they start smoking.
Why do you think he looks so cool? Because he really enjoyed it? Like, he just fucking loves sucking on that butt.
I don't know. That's an elusive thing. I mean, I started smoking because I wanted to look cool.
Yeah.
Because I saw people smoking who looked cool. Yeah. Like Frenchmen. Like, anyone French just looks fucking cool smoking
any
a
foreigner.
Cigarette. Any foreigner.
Smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. I would look at them and I'd be like, it's just not happening.
Yeah.
But now I'm addicted, so what am I going to do?
Yeah. Are you still smoking? No, right?
No.
Okay.
No, I quit a long time ago.
Yeah, I used to smoke, too.
It was so good, wasn't
cool.
it?
Yeah, it was really cool. So cool. I'm not talking about
so
it.
So delicious.
So delicious. After, like, a steak dinner, nothing better than a good cigarette.
After, like, five drinks?
Yeah. Oh,
that first smoke break? So good.
Yeah.
So tasty.
Damn you,
I feel like you guys need some private time.
It was like a stick of oxygen.
Only the opposite.
It isn't exactly.
No, it's not how it feels.
Yeah. It feels so good.
It's like you can breathe again.
God, we're talking about smoking.
I want one so bad.
You know, I saved the last cigarette I never smoked. So I bought a packet and I smoked all of it except one. And I said, because I was dating Michelle and she didn't like smoking and stuff. And I also kind of wanted to quit. It had been like 10 years since I'd smoked. I smoked like straight for 10 years. And so I bought the pack. I smoked all of them except one. And I said, all right, I'm not going to smoke this one. And I still have it.
You still have it?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Oh, he's pulling it out. He knows where it is. Oh, he looks at it a lot.
I always look at it.
As soon as we leave, he's going to sit here and just stare at it.
And it's a Parliament.
Look at it's one. There's one left.
Recessed filter.
Yeah.
You're a fancy lad.
Yeah. Parliament's ultra lights.
You know what those recessed filters are good for, right?
Giving you more cancer. but Parliament's. That was the last pack I smoked.
Parliament's.
Yeah.
I would not choose Parliament's for my last pack. I was a Dunhill man.
I know. Well, I was a...
That sounds terrible. Anyone who wants to punch me in the face, you
pretentious,
can.
Pretentious, dude.
Yeah.
So pretentious. Fucking such pretentious cigarettes, dude. What's wrong with you, dude?
They were delicious. Dunhill lights were great.
My brand was always De Jerems, the cloves. I used to love those.
Oh, cloves.
Or Marlboro blend number 27.
I didn't know you were a 15-year-old drama girl. You the Jarum Blacks?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so did every girl I did theater with. Yeah. They all smoked Jarum Blacks.
They all want to be Johnny Depp.
No, they all want to be Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know why we're talking. We talked like 10 minutes
because
about
Humphrey
cigarettes.
Bogart looks fucking cool smoking unfiltered cigarettes.
It's true. It's true. But what is your number two now?
Shit. Like, during one of the first parts of that conversation, I had thought of another replacement movie I wanted to use, but then you got to cigarettes and
what
I
was your original number
forgot.
Two?
I don't remember what the replacement was going to be, so I'm sticking with my original number two anyway, which is Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
Sounds
so good.
It's really good.
It's amazing. Every time I watch it, I appreciate it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those movies I'm just constantly studying.
Yes.
Just because I feel like there's so much there. Like, I could keep watching that and Hearts of Darkness over and over again and just learn something new. With each viewing, there's so much happening.
It does. It totally holds up to a critical eye.
I don't love the Redux. I like the original.
Yeah.
I don't need the plantations scene.
I don't think I ever saw the Redux.
Don't need to. You don't need to. Here's the thing about this movie is that when you watch, what is it? Hearts
of Darkness.
And then you go back and rewatch Apocalypse Now, you see like the blood and sweat that he put into the movie, you know? Like, mm-hmm. You see, like, this guy fucking loves cinema. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is how much he loved it. He almost fucking died for it.
Well, and it's like, you're always learning more. Like, watching Milius, you learn even more about it. Like, where he's talking about bringing the gun in to the voiceover booth for Martin Sheen to hold when he's doing the dialogue.
Yeah.
When he's doing the voiceover. Like, that's fucked up.
Oh, I need to watch Milius.
It's so good. Yeah. Yeah.
You haven't seen it?
It's on Netflix, I know.
Yeah, you got to watch it.
I put it on my queue like last week.
You really got to watch it.
For people who don't know, John Milius wrote Apocalypse Now.
He wrote Apocalypse Now, yeah.
And in the stories he tells about the filming of it and the voiceover and stuff, they're pretty intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn it. Such a good movie. Now I want to watch it again.
I haven't seen it in a long time. Probably not since school or something.
And then Brando coming in all fat and stuff and having to deal with that. Fuck that, dude. I would have punched him. Like, fucking Brando.
You wouldn't feel it. It's too fat.
You couldn't just keep the weight off, man. And he never...
Supposed to be in the army, asshole.
Yeah. He never fixed the shit. He stayed fat from that point on.
Yeah.
Never lost the weight. Fucking good number two. Is that your number three or two?
That's my number two.
Two. My number one is from 1998.
You're not going to do your recap?
Oh, my recap, yeah. Sorry. My two-way tie was Glory and Starship Troopers. Four was Inglourious Basterds. Three was Three Kings. Two, The Hurt Locker. And my number one from 1998, The Thin Red Line. I'm already getting looks from Brandon. He doesn't like it.
I should watch it again.
Here's the thing. It's not a narrative, per se. You know, it's a Terrence Malick movie. It's really still, but I like
super still.
I like
a lot of running fingers through grass.
Yeah, through wheat fields.
You cut that out. That's like 90 minutes.
Yeah,
shorter.
It's a poem about war, told visually. That's how I see that movie. That's why I see a lot of Terrence Malick's movies.
Did you hear Terrence Malick say that?
No, I didn't.
I feel like that's something Terrence Malick would say.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm not saying it's wrong. I would agree. I think same thing with The Tree of Life. I think it's a poem about how he feels about life and religion and shit.
So he's not so much a filmmaker, more of a poet.
Yeah, I think so. He's a poet.
You call me pretentious for liking Dunhills.
I know, dude. Fuck, dude.
I walked out of The Thin Red Line.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But
in theaters? Like
in the theater.
You're like, fuck.
My friend and I looked at each other like, fuck this shit. We walked out.
Really?
I feel like most people did. Like, I remember because it was 98 also, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like it was shortly after Saving Private Ryan. Yep. And I remember hearing so many people complain. I didn't even go see it in theaters, but I remember hearing so many people complain about it, comparing it to Saving Private Ryan.
But I already admitted I was a stone cold idiot, dumbass, in 1998. So
Why were you a stone cold asshole or idiot? Sorry.
Well, I just told you, like, I didn't.
He didn't even like Saving Private Ryan.
I didn't even like Saving Private Ryan.
So that didn't impress
him. Beyond the opening.
You were a naysayer.
That's giving me too much credit.
You hadn't come into your own as
being,
an adult.
Being a naysayer, like, assumes that I had a valid opinion, but I was just a dumbass.
What year did you graduate high school?
2001.
There you go. You still hadn't become like an adult. You hadn't.
Right.
Your thoughts hadn't.
I was a dumb teenager that didn't know anything. Yeah. So I think it's not fair to say that I don't like it. I think I need to rewatch it. Yeah.
I love it. That's why it's my number one.
Do I still have your copy of
The
Thin Red Line? Okay.
And Badlands.
And Days of Heaven. I have all your Terrence Malick.
Yeah. Do you have it on Blu-ray, I assume?
Of course I have it on Blu-ray, dude.
Okay, well,
come on, dude. Slow down, dude. It's a Criterion. Of course it's on Blu-ray.
Okay, I will borrow it and I will watch it for sure.
Well, when he gives it back.
Okay.
I still have your Inside.
Okay.
So. That sounded weird. So that is my number one. Brandon, what is your number one? You have a surrogate number one?
Yep, I'm going to have a surrogate number one.
What's your recap also?
My recap is number five, Saving Private Ryan, Paths of Glory, Full Metal Jacket, but I threw in Edge of Tomorrow, Spies Like Us, Casablanca, Three Kings, number two, and my number one was Starship Troopers, because it's awesome, but I'm going to throw in The Great Escape.
Okay.
I love The Great Escape. Loved it as a kid, watched it all the time. I haven't seen it in a long time. I do want to rewatch it. I should rewatch it. Does Criterion have a Great Escape?
It doesn't.
I think
there's a Great Escape Laserdisc from Criterion.
Yeah. Oh, I guarantee I watched that then. Because this was when I was watching, when I was renting Laserdisc from Laserland.
Laserland.
But yeah, The Great Escape is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
A POW epic.
With an awesome cast.
Amazing cast. Yeah. Holy shit, the cast. Donald Pleasance, Steve McQueen.
Charlie Bronson.
So good.
Yeah. Steve McQueen, I always say, everyone's like, oh, James Dean's so cool. No, Steve McQueen's the coolest. Yeah. I wish you could whistle better. But.
Well, I keep blowing on the mic is the problem. I need to do it this way.
Yeah. But
did we say James Garner?
Yeah.
No, we didn't.
James Garner.
Rockford himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Such a good movie. Yeah.
Really good.
Fucking A.
Is it? Wait, Richard Attenborough? Who's the English commander?
I don't remember. I haven't seen it since I was probably like 18 or something.
It's been a really long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can't forget Charlie Bronson.
No, you can't.
Freaking out in the cave.
Yeah. He was so good. Charles Bronson.
So good.
Just an everyman.
Except for, the problem is, as he got older, like,
his face got
his
huge.
Face started like impeding his speech.
Yeah,
to where like it was all chicken.
Yeah,
I was right. It's Richard Attenborough.
Richard Attenborough. Yeah. Okay.
He's like, I wish he was dead.
God, but when Donald Pleasance like is going blind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't know if he can go, so he has to be led like into the train.
James Coburn.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like everybody's in this movie.
That's a good number one.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah. I think.
Steve McQueen getting to ride his motorcycle.
He's like, how could I ride a motorcycle in this bad boy?
Yeah, Steve McQueen, you're right. Steve McQueen is probably the ultimate badass.
Yeah. I would say the only second, you know who's even cooler than James Dean? I mean, because everyone says James Dean's the coolest person. No, I disagree. First, it's Steve McQueen. Second.
Listen, I don't think it's cool to die young, okay?
Two.
I know, that's unpopular.
Two. Paul Newman.
Yeah.
So cool. So cool he's Cool Hand Luke.
If Cool Hand Luke was a war movie, that would have been my number one.
Yeah, of course.
The Great Escape is the Cool Hand Luke of war movies.
Yeah.
Wait, isn't there another awesome story in Milius about going up to meet with Steve McQueen?
Yeah, where he bought off the script.
Yeah.
For him, and I forgot what movie he did. But yeah, like, he went to go meet with Steve McQueen. And
they were, like, doing karate.
Yeah, and they were talking about another movie. He was going to write another movie for him, but he's like, hey, what do you got in your bag? And he's like, oh, it's a script that I'm getting ready to make. And he wanted another actor. And Steve McQueen saw the script, and then he went out and bought it the next day. Bought the movie. He bought the script. And then made it. I mean, he cast himself in it.
What was it?
I forgot what it was. I'm drawing a blank of what it was, but... Yeah, good number one. There you go. Okay. Adam, how are you going to close this down?
Okay, so my recap. My number five was Black Hawk Down. Number four, Full Metal Jacket. Number three, Wag the Dog. Number two, Apocalypse Now. And my number one from 1970, MASH. Fucking love MASH.
Nice.
It's another movie where I can just keep watching it over and over again. And find something new for a different reason. Yeah. Just because... Robert Altman's crazy layered dialogue. It's like, oh, I totally never heard that line until this time I just watched this movie.
I love this movie.
I've never seen MASH.
Really?
What?
Not even the TV show?
No, I've seen a ton of the TV show.
Never the movie.
I've never seen the movie.
Oh, you gotta watch the movie.
See, I've never seen a full episode of the TV show.
Really?
But I love the movie. When I first moved here...
We'll just switch for a minute.
When I first moved here, I was looking for a copy of MASH, and I went to like several video stores asking for it, and I was... dumbfounded by the fact that people working in video stores in Hollywood didn't know what MASH was. I'm like, seriously? Like, oh, like the TV show? I'm like, no, there's a movie, MASH, Robert Altman. Who? And I wanted to punch him in the face. I'm like, how do you have this job? I needed a job at the time. You need to quit. I need to work here because you don't even know what MASH is.
Yeah.
And so I ended up just buying it.
Yeah.
Which I don't regret, but it was weird to me that people who work in video stores didn't know what MASH was.
Yeah. Love MASH.
Can't beat Elliot Gould again. I think okay. So what is about war movies and awesome casts? Man,
Elliot Gould might be cooler than Steve McQueen.
Okay, no, Steve McQueen.
There was a period when no one has ever been cooler than Elliot Gould.
I agree.
Elliot Gould had like good 4 years.
The Long Goodbye.
Yeah.
He's probably better than cooler than Steve McQueen.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
That cat is cooler than Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
Well, that run he did with all like MASH, Long Goodbye. California Suite, or not California Suite, California Split.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just fucking cool.
Yeah.
Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. Mm. Yeah, Donald Sutherland, Tom Skerritt.
Yeah.
Fucking everybody. Bud Tom Cort Skerritt. Is Radar.
Bud Cort.
Yeah. Crazy Bud Cort.
Crazy Bud Cort.
He's still alive?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
There was someone, I think like The Guardian or something, just wrote an article about him like,
really?
Here's what Bud Cort's been up to. And I realized I think I've gotten him mixed up and vice versa with Paul Williams a lot. Now that he's older.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well. It's weird.
In passing, if you're not as familiar with what Paul Williams looks like or what Bud Cort looks like.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. But MASH, damn you. Good number one. You closed it out really well. One. Really different. You had The Great Escape. I had Thin Red Line, which is completely... pretentious, I would say.
Well, as long as you can acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure I would call... I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time, and I haven't seen the whole thing, so...
We'll watch it. We'll have a movie.
But it's Terrence Malick. It's probably pretentious.
We'll watch...
But I don't like calling things pretentious, necessarily.
No, I don't either.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I do. It's pretentious.
Yeah.
But that's putting, like, a value judgment on what someone's intention was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's true. I don't think he intended to be pretentious.
Just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's pretentious.
I don't think he can help it.
I mean,
anyone's going to be pretentious, it's Terrence Malick. But
I don't know
that's not necessarily his. No one sets out to be.
I'm
like,
not saying
oh,
that
I'm
pretentious is a
it.
Bad thing either. Though that's a thing.
He's
yeah,
a
that's
scholar,
true.
You know,
but it's
he can't
always
help
negative.
It.
It's never a positive thing. It's never like, oh, that movie was so pretentious.
I loved it.
So I loved it every second. Yeah. The pretension just wow.
Yeah,
no, it's the good kind.
Yeah, makes you want to look.
It's grade A pretension.
Yeah.
The best kind. I wanted a second serving of pretentious.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we closed it off really well. I think we'll have a part two of this list.
I think so too, because as we were talking, like I kept thinking about other movies. So I'm like, oh, that's a whole other version
of
this
list. There's a lot of war movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there should be one for each war.
Yeah. Well, we should do one each year, an episode. Next year, we'll do another one.
What are we going to do? Peloponnesian.
Yeah.
Trojan.
We didn't even talk about Missing in Action. Or the Delta Force.
I came here tonight. You were watching Delta Force.
No, yeah. I was prepping for... I was in the mindset of...
We have to do generic Afghanistan fighting. Well, which is like 70 movies between 1984 and 1989.
Here's the thing about the Delta Force. That it looks like it's a Chuck Norris movie, but it's a great ensemble. Shelley Winters is in it. Joey Bishop is in it. George Kennedy, Kim Delaney, Robert Forster. It's amazing. It's a great ensemble movie. But everyone focuses in on Chuck Norris because he's badass and kicking people in the face.
Yeah.
But it is a great war movie. So,
I mean, I don't think it counts as a war movie.
It's more of a murder movie.
Yeah, it's not a war movie. They're not. Hey,
it's a war
on
terror.
It's a hostage situation.
A war on terror. Okay?
Can't have a war on terror.
Yeah.
No.
Chuck Norris can.
No.
There's a lot of people who disagree with you.
Yeah. I know.
Well, here it is. You know what the war is? The world versus Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris wins.
Chuck Norris does win.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
War on Terror? The Frighteners.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's the war on terror.
Ghostbusters?
Yeah. I wish Chuck Norris really did fight the war on terror because it would have been over. Would have been over already.
That'd be cool if he went to the video store.
He would have shot a grenade out of the back of his motorcycle and blown up the war on terror a long time
ago. Yeah. He would have. I wish we had more Chuck Norrises in this world. Just
Runhousing.
The
universe is too small.
Have you heard Chuck Norris?
The
world needs fewer Chuck
Norris. Not the real Chuck Norris, the mythical Chuck Norris from Delta Force and Lone Wolf McQuade.
Indiscriminate killing?
Yeah. Doing Runhouse.
The world has a lot of those.
Denim vest with the sleeves cut off? Come on, man. Riding Broncos.
Army of One.
Well,
good guys wear black.
Those are gay characters now. That's macho now, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it was always macho, but now it's macho.
Yeah, it's macho. all right. Well, I think that concludes our list. We're gonna do a part 2 of this episode, and we'll see what else we come up with. Another five war movies. Anything else? You could find us on Twitter at the Film Podcast. The website at thefilmpodcast.com. You can find me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERAS.
At BL Bennett.
I'm at An Adam Scott, @AN_AdamScott.
There you go. Find him there. And until next time, guys, have a good week.